11. Despite what felt like a lifetime of virtual isolation in a sweltering, bug-biting, foul-smelling forest with little else to do but think, Kanawa Swift Dragon remained at a loss about how one really found inner peace. Was it knowing which question to ask, or merely the act of searching for the answer? With considerable effort, he considered his current predicament and gave it a try. His head pounded like a kettle drum on a sun-baked parade square. Even the long-gone tip of his left ear hurt. It wasn't a result of his battle with the rocks, nor Vecina's attempt on his life, before she got to know him, of course. It wasn't almost getting decapitated by Her Majesty's overeager cavalry, or even the simple insidious torture of riding a horse. It was, and of this he was absolutely sure, the Sala brandy he had been drinking with the Duke of Rakestraw for the past 48 hours.
"The commander of Her Majesty's forces in the Greater Protectorate of Elfkina asked you a question," Marshal Rule's wizard was saying.
"And that?" A fire deep within Kanawa rekindled. There were 6 officers on Rule's staff in the Duke's tent, though Jal had departed earlier that morning without even saying goodbye. Something was bothering his old friend, but as drunk as they had gotten, Jal refused to discuss it. Instead, finding more bottles and flasks tucked away in sleeves and pockets and regaling him with the events of the past year.
"Did he now?" Kanawa replied, turning his attention back to the group crowded around him.
They glittered and sparkled like a flock of magpie dragons, their chests adorned with bright baubles, there to impress other males and woo females. Kanawa read their faces and saw their disdain. He yawned and scratched his head, then lurched forward as if he was going to leap at them. They all flinched, all except the old elven wizard, Jerwan Leaftalker. He calmly stared at Kanawa while munching on a bag of nuts. His eyes sparkled with annoying intelligence in a weather-tanned face so craggy it might have been bark. Leaftalker leaned on a halberd, with a burnished, sharpened point on one end, a string of leaves wrapped around the base of the point like a garland. Clad as he was in a many-colored robe of animal skins, and wearing an intricate feather headdress of gray, black, and red plumage that drooped down over the tops of his ears, the wizard looked more like a vagabond than the wielder of powerful magic that Kanawa knew him to be.
"I did," the marshal said, "and you will be so kind as to reply."
Kanawa broke the wizard's stare and finally looked at Marshal Rule. He was a hollow caricature of the man Kanawa had once known. Despite the light that glowed through the canvas tent, the marshal appeared faded. His silver-green coatee hung loose from his shoulders, and his bicorn wobbled on his head as if it had shrunk. What surprised Kanawa the most, though, were his eyes. Rheumy and red-rimmed, too weak to hold a stare for more than a moment.
"No," Kanawa said.
"No,"
replied the marshal. Several of the officers gasped, while Leaftalker smiled.
"Are you deaf now, too?" Kanawa asked.
At least 3 sabers rattled in their scabbards as the marshal's staff surged forward at the insult. A small cough from the wizard caught everyone's attention.
"Gentlemen," Rule said, "please vacate this tent so that we may speak alone."
"But, sir,"
the marshal raised a slim hand and quieted his retinue.
"Now."
They left reluctantly. Leaftalker, however, remained.
"You're drunk,"
the marshal said without preamble.
"And you're a coward, but at least I'll be sober in a few hours," Kanawa said, collapsing onto the Duke's chair.
If the insult affected the marshal, he didn't show it.
"You don't like me, do you?"
Kanawa stared at him for several seconds.
"You wonder if I like you? I despise you."
The Iron Elves were disbanded because of you. Fine, court-martial me for saving the Empire, but they did nothing wrong. The Marshal's sword whistled from its scabbard and was pressing against Kanawa's throat in a flash. The eyes that had looked so old and tired a moment ago now burned with a fury that caught Kanawa's breath. He glanced over at the wizard, who was busy stuffing several nuts into his mouth at once, and showed no signs of intervening.
"You don't know anything," the Marshal whispered hoarsely. "I had no choice."
Kanawa glared back at Rule. "Like hell. You know damn well the Viceroy was in league with the Shadow Monarch. He was doing everything in his power to stir up revolt in this country. I did the world a favor when I killed him. And what did I get for it? A court-martial and my regiment taken away. Tell me, how do you sleep at night?"
"I don't sleep anymore,"
Rule said absently, lowering his sword. He looked at Kanawa with eyes that were once again those of a very tired, very old man. Resheathing the blade, Rule walked over to the cot and lowered himself to sit. It barely sagged under his weight. Something deep inside Kanawa stirred, and he was shocked to realize it was pity.
"Are you looking for sympathy?"
"No. And neither will you get any from me," Rule said. "Command is about making difficult choices. Of course I knew who the Viceroy really served. He was as artless as he was ruthless."
Hearing the admission left Kanawa speechless.
"I knew," Rule continued. "Her Majesty knew, and I suspect most of the Empire knew. But that was beside the point. You took matters into your own hands by going to Lugath Jor and killing him before there could be a trial. An officer of the Crown cannot simply take matters into his own hands. You gave me no choice."
Kanawa found his voice. "A trial? He was killing the Elfkainen like flies, robbing their temples, digging up sacred relics in search of something for the Shadow Monarch. That mad elf was trying to put her on the Queen's throne. He had to be stopped. Talking him to death wasn't an option."
"So he didn't tell you what he was searching for?"
Rule asked. The look of surprise on his face appeared genuine.
"We didn't chat," Kanawa said grimly.
Rule paused as he considered this, then continued.
"When you were at Lugath Jor, did you see anything out of the ordinary?"
Kanawa threw up his hands.
"I saw a sad excuse for a fort, a few mud huts, a river, and an elf who was a disgrace to all the Hinta."
"And what did you do with the Viceroy's body?"
Kanawa's next outburst froze on his lips.
"We buried it outside the fort. Why?"
Ruel looked over at Leaf Talker, who swallowed the nuts in his mouth and shook his head, sending the feathers in his headdress dancing.
"All things that will be, unless they are destined to be different."
The pain behind Kanawa's eyes increased.
"What?"
"Quite,"
Leaf Talker said, thumping his halberd on the ground. Vibrations hummed through the air. For a moment it was as if a door to another world had opened, and then closed again.
"Despite your time among the trees, you have learned very little from them."
Kanawa wasn't sure if he should laugh or cry.
"My patience was at an end before this conversation started. You sent for me, not the other way around. In the few days I've been back in civilization, I've been attacked by extinct creatures, heard enough rumors to last several lifetimes, and still I don't have the first clue what is going on."
Marshal Rule stood and withdrew a thin scroll of parchment from his jacket, handing it to Kanawa.
"We know why the rocks have returned. They are but the first. More will come. Unless we find a way to stop her."
Kanoa gripped the scroll hard. The dream he'd tried very hard to forget flashed vividly before his eyes. The Shadow Monarch's cold hand reached out to him from the shadows. He could feel the paper softening with the sweat of his own hand. The Marshal and the Wizard stared at him, waiting. Kanoa had no choice. He was going to accept, no matter what they had planned. She had to be stopped, and he needed to belong again. It was like standing on a mountain peak. There was nowhere to go but back down. Kanoa nodded and slackened his grip on the scroll, prying open the wax seal and pulling the rolled paper to its full length. When he finished reading it, the strength in his body gave out and he sank into the chair, the scroll sliding from his hand.
"You're reforming the Iron Elves."
"I really rather expected you to have pieced that together before now,"
Ruhl stated, his tone bringing Kanoa back to his senses. Kanoa's mind raced with the possibilities. To do what? Lead them on a death march? Her mountain is well guarded, her power too great for a single regiment. Not that the men wouldn't try. But no one who enters her realm comes back. There was a small, dry noise from the wizard that sounded an awful lot like laughter. But when Kanoa looked, the elf was busy stuffing still more of the endless supply of nuts into his mouth. Ruhl looked annoyed.
"No one is asking you to attack her directly. There isn't the time or the resources to mount an expedition to travel across the ocean and lay siege to her mountain. No. You are to take the regiment north, following the Bainama River as far as Lugath Jor."
"You said before you knew why the rocks had returned. What's that got to do with Lugath Jor?" For no reason Kanoa could explain, he pictured the fort smothered in a sea of twisted trees. Ruhl looked again to Leaftalker, who nodded.
"We believe more than just rocks have returned."
Kanoa put it together.
"You can't be serious. I killed him. I put my saber through his heart. You court-martialed me for it." "For disobeying orders,"
Ruhl said in an entirely matter-of-fact tone.
"Killing him was beside the point. In any event, it seems he, or something like him, has returned. An apparition has been sighted in more than one place. It looks like the departed Viceroy, but claims to be her emissary."
"You have proof of this?" Ruhl sighed, a pained look crossing his face.
"No, at least little more than rumor. Seers, shamans, and wizards, among others, say they have seen or felt something amiss. And it all points to Lugath Jor. The garrison there has not been heard from in almost a fortnight. Strange stories are beginning to drift down from the north. But the new Viceroy has convinced Her Majesty that the cavalry should be pulled back to go after the orcs in the west. With them out of the north, we've had no way to confirm anything."
Kanoa remembered the feel of his saber sliding into the elf's chest. He couldn't be alive, could he? "Jal, the Duke, told me about this move to the west. Is the Viceroy now in charge of the military here?" The Marshal rose slightly from the cot, then regained his composure.
"He is Her Majesty's representative in this country, and his orders are the Queen's orders."
"Why us? Why go to all this trouble to reform the Iron Elves just to check out a rumor?"
"Simply put, we have no other choice. The Viceroy's orders apply to all Kalarian regiments in Elfkina, and he wants them all focused on the western border and the orcs."
The disdain in the Marshal's voice was obvious. "You don't suspect this new one, do you?" Kanoa asked.
"He serves Her Majesty, and has yet to show divided loyalties. Still, the Iron Elves are being raised by personal fiat of the Prince, and as such do not fall under the orders of the Viceroy.
Conowa's head began to pound even harder as he tried to pick his way through the gambits within machinations. He looked at Leaftalker, who smiled back as if nothing the least bit strange was happening, but then wizards never played it straight. Or monarchs, or generals, for that matter.
So the Queen allows her Viceroy to move all her forces in Elfkina to the west, while at the same time allowing her son, the Prince, to raise a regiment to head east? What am I missing?
Ahead for politics, Rule said. It is both naive and dangerous to view the Empire as being of one mind. The Queen, in her long reign, has developed the most delicate of royal traits, holding contradictory views at the same time.
Then she suspects the new Viceroy.
Conowa had only met the Queen once, several years before, at an award ceremony for several officers, himself one of the recipients. She'd smiled and been pleasant, laughing and making small talk, yet Conowa came away from that meeting with the distinct impression he'd been a mouse in the presence of a very charming cat. Ruel offered Conowa the briefest of smiles.
Her Majesty is prudent in all matters. Therefore the regiment will proceed to Lugoth Jor, and ascertain whether the Red Star has indeed fallen back to Earth. If the star is there, you will retrieve it.
That prophecy? Conowa said, looking straight at the wizard.
Shooting stars fall from the skies like rain. What about the old Viceroy?
Kill him again, and this time do a proper job of it.
Conowa blinked.
Kill a dead elf again, and find a mythical magical object. Anything else?
Rule pinched the bridge of his nose.
It is obvious that trees make poor intellectual companions. Your grasp of the greater import of things is not what it used to be. I would have thought the rocks would be enough to convince you things have changed. If they can come back from the dead, why not the Viceroy? And if him, why not others? The star, whether real or myth, is a significant threat, and must be kept from her.
It's still a fairy tale, Conowa said. Like the Ice Queen of the Julg Orcs. The return of stars from the heavens in the world's time of need is just legend.
That matters little,
Rule said, absently brushing at his sleeve.
To the Elfkynan, and for that matter to a great many in the Empire, the legend of the star is the very foundation on which their faith is built. The star's power is incalculable. The people believe it to be true, therefore it is true.
It'll be a hunk of crystal, Conowa said, rolling his eyes. A shiny gem that reflects the light in pretty colors.
The marshal tapped his foot.
Perception is reality. He or she who holds the star commands the legend. What if the other stars turn up? Magic or glass, we need this one. With it we convince the Elfkynan that the Empire remains strong, and thoughts of rebellion drift away. With it we convince the Shadow Monarch to stay on her mountain, and not interfere in the affairs of the Empire. Without it, she and many more will grow to believe the opposite, even perhaps that they can defeat us.
Maybe they can, Conowa said.
Indeed,
the Marshal replied.
But to oust the Imperial Army from Elfkynna would cost untold thousands, tens of thousands of lives. They are a proud people, but they do not have the weapons or the army to challenge us at anything close to parity. The bloodshed would be horrendous, and Her Majesty would send reinforcements. Is that what you want?
Kanawa's shoulders slumped.
Fine. Let's suppose for a moment all of this is true. It will take weeks to bring the regiment back from the southern wastes, and even longer to re-equip and prepare for this. Do we have that much time?
Rule stood up. The blanket on the cot was increased at all.
Arrangements are being made. The prince has ordered you commissioned as a captain.
The marshal raised a hand to Kanawa before he could react.
I informed the prince that your abilities to lead men into battle were not in question, but a rank of only captain would compromise this. He was unmoved by my argument. His Highness takes a dim view of officers who kill Her Majesty's representatives. However, the Duke of Rakestraw saw fit to purchase your commission to Major, and the prince has allowed it to stand. For now.
Kanawa slapped his knee. Jal hadn't said a thing the entire time. So who's been assigned my second in command to make sure I adhere to this vision of yours? The marshal coughed.
It is my duty to inform you that as of this date you are granted the commission of Brevet Major, Sub-Knight Commander and Second in Command of Her Majesty's Light Infantry Regiment of the Hinta, the Iron Elves.
Kanawa blinked. Second in Command?
In order to ensure that the Viceroy cannot interfere, Prince Tyken will personally lead the regiment as its Knight Superior, and will be here shortly to officially take command of the regiment.
And you think I'll accept this?
Kanawa said, his voice rising as he looked from the marshal to the wizard, the blood pounding in his ears.
You will, and you will conduct yourself in a manner befitting an officer and gentleman.
The marshal paused, then continued in a quieter tone.
Life is all about making the best of a challenging situation. Princes become kings and won't always have the inclination to lead a regiment into the darker places of the empire.
Kanawa thought about that for a moment. Of course, Rule was right. But Tyken? Suddenly something came to him, a ditty. Bottles and bat wings, spells to make bees sing, it's all for the book, the lists of Prince Tyken.
Hell!
He said, finally remembering.
He's the bloody compendiast!
The wizard actually chuckled. Marshal Rule pursed his lips.
If you mean the prince is fond of the study of natural history and artifacts of rare and special significance, then yes, he is.
Like the fabled Eastern Star, Red Star, whatever you call it, Star of Silra,
Kanawa said, fitting at least one of the pieces of this puzzle in place.
The star, as I mentioned, is far more important politically, and the prince has been made aware of this. He assures me his interest is in matters more pertinent to the state of the empire.
Kanawa thought he understood, and the knowledge made him sick to his stomach.
Aha! The queen's feeling her age, so she's preparing the young snot to sit on the throne. Time to trade in the scrolls and telescopes for a sword and scepter. Crush a rebellion, debunk some legends, find a pretty bauble in the process. And I get the distinct honor of nursemaiding him through the whole damn coming-of-age exercise.
Rule flushed red. His hand strayed toward his saber, but only grabbed the sword knot. When he spoke, it was in a whisper that carried like an arrow through silk.
A year is a long time to live alone in the wild, especially in this land. It would be easy for an elf to forget the greater world and its rules of conduct, so I will grant you this impertinence here now. When you leave this tent, however, you are an officer in Her Majesty's army, and you will act like one. Or so help me, I will return you to the forest myself, one piece at a time.
The marshal removed his hand from the sword knot, and pivoting on one heel, parted the tent flaps and stepped outside, leaving Kanawha alone with the wizard. Kanawha stared after Rool, wholly unsatisfied with the way events were developing. Things were moving too fast by half.
"It's been a long time, my boy,"
Leaftalker said, offering Kanawha a nut. "Maybe not long enough," Kanawha said, still staring at the tent flaps.
"Ah, then perhaps your time with nature was more beneficial than your current attitude and appearance would suggest?"
he asked, ignoring Kanawa's rudeness. Kanawha said nothing for several seconds, then turned to fix the wizard with a cold stare. "I still hate the forest, father."